Blog Talk Radio.
Don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. Dot text style. I flip the script so it can't get filed. At least not now, it'll take a while. I change the pace to complete the beat. I drop the bass to MCs get weak. For every road they trace, there's a scar they keep. Cause when I speak, it freaks the sweat, the technique. I made my debut in 86 with a melody and a president's mix. And now I stay on target and refuse to miss. And I still make hits and beats. Parties, clubs, and cars and jeeps. My underground sound vibrates the streets. MCs wanna beast in a place of kings.
You know what? I got an interesting thing to start off the show tonight. As Midnight Madness is underway. Hope your Tuesday was well, folks. We have arrived at Hump Day. I'll tell you what. And another good intro song by DJ C. Ponce. I'm John Fanta with Corey Ponarello. I start the show with this. Folks always love to tweet out the show link and the phone number. It is 516-387-1570. That's 516-387-1570. Call and talk about sports, life, food, love, and more. I was going through my Twitter just now. I always have to laugh, folks. And Corey, I don't know if you can attest to this. Before we get to the opening tip off, we're going to tip off the show with something else tonight. I just find at humanity needs, with the description, humanity sayings and quotes. They're following nearly 1,200 people. They've got 1,000 followers. And at humanity needs, found me on Twitter and just decided to follow me. How the heck do some of these accounts, and I know you get them too, Ponce, I know we all get them, and if you have like to shed on this situation, I'd love to hear it from you, because as an active Twitter user, I always get intrigued by, like, why is humanity needs, humanity sayings and quotes, one of the tweets, more loving, less hating, more camaraderie, less self-worship. I'm not following them back. If you're looking for a follow back, humanity needs, you're not getting one. But how the heck did they find me on Twitter? What is this on Twitter where random accounts just find people? That's what I'm starting the show with tonight. 516-387-1570 if you want to talk about it. But I just do not. I'm not fired up about it, really. I mean, I sound excited. I'm excited for another show, but humanity needs. And it's got a picture of two children. You can follow that, humanity needs. I'm helping them out right now. It's got a picture of two random children. They look like they're from a foreign country, just sitting down and looking at me in the face. I don't know where. Well, how does that even happen? That's what grinds my gears.
You know, grinding my gears, John, as well, you know, on the heels of random Twitter accounts, I managed to stumble on something where it is very rantable, to say the least. And, John, we turn to the diamond, and I've seen my own slew of celebrity softball games. And mind you, I played baseball growing up. My dad claims I was a great baseball player, but, you know, just too slow a pace of game for me. Didn't fall in love with the game, but, you know, today, if I were to go out on the Seton Hall Green, play catch with a couple buddies, I'd be able to catch, you know, a baseball. And, you know, most athletes have the athletic capability to do so. So, Kevin Durant, why did you drop that fly ball in center field in the Celebrity All-Star Game yesterday, sponsored by KS? And, John, feel free to chime in, but nearly a 7
Butterfingers!
You can say Butterfingers, but, I mean, his fingers made of butter were covered by a glove. It hit him in the web and it right out. And that can't happen. You got to make those plays if you're an athlete. I don't care. You know, you're an MVP on the court, but you have to make it in an All-Star game. He's not a Michael Jordan yet. I mean, that he can swing the bat. Apparently, he can swing the bat pretty, you know, well. But John, you got to make those plays out in center field. It's one of the most important positions in baseball and/or softball, for that matter.
Yeah, but I'm so conflicted on this because I see a lot of celebrity softball games going on this time of year. They're definitely prevalent. Joe Hayden has one over in Cleveland. That comes out to Deion Sanders came out, and who else? Richard Sherman's out there. I've seen him playing celebrity softball. So look, KD's got to make that play, but KD's got to make a lot of plays this upcoming season, which I think we'll get to the NBA in a second. But we're starting with baseball. Weird. How this season has gone. I mean, you look at the American League, folks, and this is a crapshoot in the wild card. There's no other way around it. The wild card race is a disaster in the American League. And frankly, folks, on the two teams that occupy those spaces, you know, have some space at the top, I just have a hard time believing that we are in for a Astros-Twins wild card playing game. And if you disagree with me, 516-387-1570, I would venture to say that neither one of these teams is going to make it out of there. But then again, I don't know who's going to make it out of the wild card. Houston and Minnesota, the Astros currently, they won 8-3. They beat the Red Sox. Who, by the way, that's one of the biggest disappointments we've seen in baseball in quite some time. And I talked about last week, and I basically gave them a kiss to death, like I gave the movie Trainwreck, like I give restaurants day in and day out. The Twins are 50-42. They are right now in progress against the Angels. Tampa Bay, and the Twins are down 2-0. The Rays are 48-48 after beating the Phillies 1-0. Big deal. The Blue Jays are 47-47. They are in progress right now against the A's. The Orioles are 46-46. They lose tonight to the Yankees 3-2. The Yankees are going to win the AL East. I just don't see the Rays, Blue Jays, or Orioles. They don't have what the Yankees have at the top of the AL East. They just don't. This is the Yankees division to lose. 516-387-1570 if you want to talk baseball with us. The Yankees aren't losing this division. The Tigers are 46-47. They lose 11-9 in the Mariners site, and I just read a tweet that says Brad Ausmus, the manager, may be out soon. They're looking at Omar Vizquel, the former Indian. The Tigers have been way downhill. The Indians are 44-48. They stink. They face Milwaukee tomorrow after losing 8-1 tonight. The crazy thing is, if the Twins go ahead and lose, the Rays are 3.5 back. The Blue Jays are 3.5 back. The Orioles are 3.5 back. The Tigers are 4 back. The Indians are 5.5 back. It's not over. Corey, do you see the Astros with big-time balance and the Twins, who have gotten good production on Torii Hunter, good enough on the pitching staff, still I'm not convinced that they do it. Who's coming out of the AL in your mind? Who is it? Who has the arsenal? It's not the Tigers, okay? They've gone way downhill unless Mickey brings them back. And that's the holdout there. The Indians have an insane pitching staff. Still, one of those teams could turn it on. Believe it or not, I still believe it. Out of those three AL East teams, the Orioles, Rays, Blue Jays, any idea what happens here?
You know, John, one team is that what we want to really look at is the Blue Jays because they have the firepower and the bats to bring in the runs. But their pitching staff is a question mark. So in the AL East, like you said, it is the Yankees division to lose. And we look at Boston, John. I want to know what's going on with Boston because they have all-star talent, but they can't put the pieces together. Mookie Betts is having a sensational year. Pedroia is a leader and a captain. Sandoval and Ramirez, they have the players. Their pitching, I wouldn't say subpar, but it's average. and I don't know what's going on there. And we talk about the Twins and the Astros. I don't think the Twins can keep it going for 30 more games. I give them that, if that. But, you know, I love the Astros. The Astros have the pitching. You do not want to play Houston when they are in Houston. Keuchel's sensational at home. And they have the bats, Correa, Altuve. John, I love the Astros. In the East, I would not be surprised if the Blue Jays can get a little bit of pitching defensively, and maybe in the bullpen, maybe they can go out and grab a piece just to see, maybe they can grab a relief pitcher who can keep the game under wraps from maybe 3 or 4 runs, because they led, coming to the All-Star break, John, the majors with runs scored, and that's a very good statistic to have under your belt entering the All-Star break, if I don't say so myself.
Yeah, but you go as far as your pitching goes, and the Blue Jays just don't have pitching. The Orioles have Adam Jones. He's an absolute beast. We watched him last week. I know how impressed you were with him. And they've got J.J. Hardy, and they have a pitching staff that I think does the job good enough. I don't know about this AL wild card. You know what? The Astros have the ace. They really do. They've got the ace in Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel is a big-time pitcher. A left-hander is an AL Cy Young Award candidate and would be my pick right now. The Twins, the Twinkies, I don't get. I love the story out of Minnesota. I think it's an awesome story. They're down 3-0 right now to the Angels, by the way.
Who've been red hot as of late.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. The Astros have now pretty much, I don't see them being able to battle with the Angels long term for that AL West title. I just don't see it happening. Just a weird team. Brian Dozier has certainly delivered. The Twins, they have talent. They do. But experience, obviously, Torii Hunter provides that. But still, this is a team that they're getting things out of guys that they normally don't get. Trevor Plouffe's giving them something this year. You go as far as your pitching takes you. And the Astros have the ace, and that's why I could see that happening. I don't know about the Twinkies, though. I don't know. Right now, if I still had to say it, I would really – there's a part of me that really still does like in the American League. I still do think there's something on the Orioles. They're the team I trust most between the Rays, Blue Jays, and then them in the AL East. Detroit, if they get Miggy back, no reason, which it looks like they eventually will, no reason why they can't make a run, but I don't see it. Cleveland, they've got great pitching. It's being wasted, but they're still alive. I'd have to say the Orioles and the Tigers are still because of Miguel Cabrera. You know, I still have to say that. The Rays just don't have the firepower. Good story from Joe, from that team. Joe Maddon leaves, and they're still fighting. In the West, you've got the Nationals at 50-42, the Cardinals. My gosh, they went 8-5. They're 59-34. The Dodgers are 53-42. Los Angeles is that team that, you know what, they've got all the pitching in the world. Kershaw and Greinke were unbelievable over the weekend. They really were fantastic. The Dodgers lose tonight, final score 4-3 to the Atlanta Braves. Corey, what do you see them doing, if anything, at the deadline? L.A. is that team that keeps knocking at the door. Can they get something to help them in the playoffs? They've got the pitching. I know you say things about Greinke and Kershaw, but they both can pitch. We know they can in the playoffs. I know that's been an issue at times, but I'm confident. Adrian Gonzalez has been very good. Maybe use another bat. I would say another bullpen piece would be good, too. What do you think?
It's tough to say our pitching was sensational over the weekend. Obviously, Kershaw and Greinke, they've been fantastic. But I think it's another starting pitcher is the missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle for Los Angeles Dodgers. Their hitters are very inconsistent. And that is also something that's going to come to bite them in the butt later on in the playoffs. Gonzalez is great. Jock Peterson was hitting .350 early on in the season. Now he's hitting low 229. That can't happen. A lot of people say Puig is a cancer in the locker room. He's gotten fights with Greinke and Turner. Will he be on the block? I think he's a very high trade value player. I heard rumors he may be traded to the Metropolitans in hopes maybe they can get a pitcher from their bullpen or any player on the Mets who can throw from the bump, I would take, because their pitching is so fantastic, John. But the Dodgers do need another starting pitcher. Brett Anderson went out with an injury tonight. I don't like Balsinger, and you can't win with just two starting pitchers. I think you just need one more, and he doesn't need to be fantastic. He just needs to get the job done. He can give up two runs. That's fine.
Well, that's a good outing.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
He can give up four runs.
And the Dodgers bats, similar to the Kluber situation in Cleveland.
Yeah, they don't give Kershaw enough support.
They don't give him much support.
Well,
Greinke,
you can't control that.
And you can't. It's something you can't control. You know, Greinke doesn't need that support because he's thrown 45-plus scoreless innings in his hasn't let a run since I don't even know when. That's how great he's been. So the Dodgers are going to be, I say they come out of the NL West on top. I really think the Giants are starting to slip. I don't know what they have to do to get something together, but I don't think they have another World Series running them. I'm sorry. And, you know, the playoff killers for the Dodgers is always the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, if you lose St. Louis Cardinals, it's not something to be ashamed of because they are easily one of the best franchises in the MLB, and they sure as hell know how to play baseball. I'll tell you that. And what a record. John, easily a 100-plus win club, maybe even more. But, listen, you know, let's not –
I'll tell you what, we have an email, which gets the show. It is the Reading Cinemas inbox. We open it up tonight, and it is our good friend Sean, who says, "Hey, JF." He says, "Keep in mind, I'm typing this 11:46 at night. I understand completely." He wants to focus on the Mets and what they should focus in on at the deadline. He says, "This series with Washington is important." Yes, it is, Sean. "The Mets still have 9 games against the Nationals after tomorrow's season finale." But the Mets still have 9 games. That's true, so plenty of time still. "Worst case scenario, the Mets are 3 games back in the NL East and 2.5 games back in wild card spot after tomorrow." Completely, completely agree with Sean that, you know what, the Mets definitely are still within striking distance. Not a lot of bad things to say right now. I still don't think there's a lot of bad things to say. I agree with the fact that they're still very much in it. Let me continue with Sean's email. "With that in mind, they cannot afford to be complacent of the deadline. With a lineup that features many players that don't even deserve bench spots on any MLB team, let alone a New York team, Sandy Alderson will make a move to prove to the fan base and the rest of the league that the Mets are serious about 2015. This organization has preached patience to its fans for years now, and the fan base has had enough. This Mets team is 49-45 with the worst offense in the league." It's so true, though. Folks, I'm pausing here. They're 49-45. They are on the verge of win number 50 and could take 2 or 3 from the Nationals. They have the worst offense in the league. And they're 49-45. Let me continue with the email. "That speaks wonders to the job that Omar Mignogna did as a talent evaluator during his tenure. John Smoltz has already said that the Mets pitching staff is better than the great Braves rotation of the 1990s. All right, that's a talking head there, John Smoltz, nonetheless. Sandy Alderson must offer, he is a Hall of Famer, Sandy Alderson must offer this rotation support they desperately deserve. The pitching staff is being counted on to not only throw gems every outing, but also contribute offensively, i.e. Matt Harvey, Bunday, and yes, he's true. I'm not calling for the big names that have been mentioned in the media lately. Justin Upton or Carlos Gomez are going to cost Donaldson the Mets, one of their stud young artists, plus a prospect like Conforto. This will come back to haunt the team for years to come. If ownership was willing to eat salary, it would be a completely different story. However, we know that this isn't the case. It should be considering David Wright's contract was insured for 75% of his salary after 60 days on the DL, and he is out for the rest of the season, highly likely, which looks likely, and the Mets should have an extra $6 to $8 million to work with. If I'm Alderson, which he's not, but still, if I'm Alderson, I'm only trading for those guys if we can eat their salary in order to lower the asking price. Also, I need to be assured that those guys will re-sign with the Mets long-term." This is part of a 5-paragraph essay. Look, Sean, I'm reading your email, my friend, and I agree that the Mets need to make a move. But this goes back to the second wild card. It's not an excuse, it's an explanation, and you can dial 516-387-1570. We'll check our reading cinema hotline in a second. But I'll be honest, folks, it's not one of those things where, you know, yes, there are two wild cards to each side, and I know that certainly increases the intensity of the game, but the fact is it is ruining the trade deadline. Because a lot of teams are in contention. Nobody wants to push the big red button. Sean, I know that Justin Upton or Gomez or Eduardo Parra are going to cost you money, are going to cost you players. But you cannot, if you know that you're not satisfied with what you have right now, you have to take a risk. You might have to get rid of a big-time prospect. You can't trade a piece of bread in for a T-bone steak. In what restaurant can you go in? That would be like me going into an Outback Steakhouse, folks. I go ahead and get the grilled cheese kid sandwich for $4.95. I waved goodbye to that sandwich a long time ago. Nonetheless, it would be like getting a grilled cheese sandwich at an Outback Steakhouse for $4.95, the waitress comes back and says, "How are you doing tonight?" And I say, "Sherry, I want a T-bone steak. I want my grilled cheese replaced, and I'm expecting it to cost $4.95. No, maybe it wasn't a great analogy, but nonetheless, Corey, we know this more than ever. So many teams are like, "Oh, you should trade him. You should trade." So many teams right now are like, so many fans, "Trade him, trade him." The Mets fans obviously don't want to trade one of their big four arms. I'm not saying that they should, but I want to remind Mets fans, if you want to get Upton, if you want to get Parra, whoever you want to get, you gotta trade something to get something. You have to risk it to get that Colonel Sanders biscuit.
And John, you're absolutely right. And we've seen with rotations and such that they can survive with three great starting pitchers. And you look and you play a series, whether it's a seven-game series, first one to win four, first one to win two. You put DeGrom and whoever on the mound, whoever you want to put in, mix in that rotation. You really need three pitchers to play a fantastic game. You win 2-1, 1-0, 3-0, you're going to advance in the playoffs. If the Mets get into the playoffs, I would not want to face them because their pitching will be an issue. And if you go down 2-0, and let's say you face DeGrom in game three in a must-win, good luck. You can get rid of someone in that rotation, but, John, is there anyone out there worth dishing out one of your stud aces? That I'd have to do a little more research on. I don't see anyone on the trading block that would be worth an ace from the Mets, but that's just me. You know, people may think Justin Upton is a top-notch player. I don't think he's fantastic. I don't think he's going to bring that offense that the Mets need necessarily. You know, and who knows, the Mets, bats can always change around. That's the one thing with the All-Star break. The second half of the All-Star break, who knows, maybe the Mets bats, the bats will come to life. So that's the one thing about the All-Star break. Things happen. It's a time for a team to regroup, reassess, see what you've done in the first half of the season, and you keep moving forward. But, John, when we talk about keep moving forward,
oh boy,
there's something in life where streaks are meant to be broken.
That's true.
And when streaks are broken,
where are you going right now?
We turn to the worldwide wrestling entertainment. And in WrestleMania, when Undertaker was defeated by Brock Lesnar, ending what was a 20-plus victory streak.
Tombstone Piledriver!
Last night, two nights ago rather, Brock Lesnar was in the ring, and out of nowhere, the Undertaker returns to WWE.
Yeah, that was great.
to shock Lesnar. Lesnar looked like he saw a ghost. He was bone chill, John. It was fantastic.
A 90-year-old Undertaker who Lesnar was out.
Yes, but you know, I would be, you know, he was one of the scariest guys growing up. I was one of the biggest WWE fans.
The scariest guy.
When The Undertaker rolled his eyes inside out, I had to shut my eyes because I was that scared. When he took off the hat and he looked at you in the ring, I was frightened. Even in the WWE video games, I probably couldn't even face The Undertaker because I was that scared.
Got more scared of him than when I saw my ex-girlfriend.
But something I want to highlight. The dialogue is superb in WWE.
Oh, it is. Very good.
You know, I've watched rivalries between John Cena, Randy Orton, you know, JBL would come on to this and that, the Boogeyman, Hornswoggle, Sheamus. Listen, the WWE does a fantastic job with a lot of other, if you want to consider it a sport we can, and that's what we're going to use to compare it here, John, I want you to just break it down for me. I mean, feel free to talk about the great Kali, Umaga, some of the greats, Andre the Giant. I don't care who you talk about. I love talking WWE. But let's talk about the fan engagement. And for something, the camera work when you're watching it on a TV looks fantastic because they cut every time they throw a punch, so it looks like the actual, you know, the wrestlers are hitting one another. But if you're there and you spend, $80-plus on a ticket, and you know it's fake, John, you know, as a fan, what is keeping you engaged in wrestling?
It is outstanding. I mean, I love it. I do. I have not watched an episode of Monday Night Raw in quite some time. I am a 20-year-old man now. There's a point where wrestling kind of waits.
Goodbye,
for lack of a better term. Sorry, but it's true. And I sometimes question, sorry to our listeners who might be out there that are over the age of 30 or 40, if you don't have a son in your home and you're turning that on and you're, Mary's in the kitchen, just done with dinner, making, wash the dishes, you need to kind of reevaluate things a little bit. Monday Night Raw is for an excellent audience for about 10 to 20, and it's in that game, maybe a little younger than 10.
18?
10 to 18, that's fine, that's fine. Yeah, I do not turn on Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown or GCW.
I wish I had the manhood and the drive to do so.
You want to do this?
Well, it's a show where it's more, but it's a storyline, growing up as a kid.
So we're watching the next Monday Night Raw then, is what you're saying.
And I will be more than happy to break it down. Because you'd have Batista come out and
all right,
win the WWE title. And
on Monday,
you want to know what happens. What's going to happen? There's a surprise and Undertaker's rest in peace. And you want to know who's saying R.I.P. to.
All right, on Monday's Midnight Madness, we'll break down Monday Night Raw, folks. See you then. Oh, boy. Any updates on,